Okay, very good afternoon to you. It is time now for Life and Other Catastrophes. It is a great segment, and Professor Jane Fisher is still away, so we have a wonderful stand-in in her place. Associate Professor Jerry Karantsis, a psychologist and relationships expert from Deakin University, has been kind enough to join us again this week. Hello, Jerry.
Hi, Alicia. How are you?
I'm very well now. This is a good topic, actually, and we'd love to know your thoughts at home, 1-300-222-774, or you can send us a text, 0437 774 774. We are talking about soulmates. Do you believe in soulmates and destiny? Is there that one other person out there who is just perfect for you? Jerry, I guess we have to start with asking you, do you believe in soulmates? Have you found your soulmate?
Okay, interesting question. And, you know, once upon a time I would have said that there is such a thing as a soulmate, and I think people still very much believe in that. It's very romantic, and by and large it's a beautiful thing to think you've got someone in your life who is very much a part of your soul. You know them intimately. You can predict each other's thoughts. There's something very nice about it. But the reality is...
I feel a butt coming on.
There is a butt coming on. But for most of us, I don't think we can say with huge confidence that we have necessarily found the one. Otherwise, we would have needed to date every person on the planet who is a potential mate and then go, right, I've sorted out everyone else. This is definitely the one.
Yes.
But having said that, you know, having a soulmate and having that kind of a view can be functional because it does keep us very connected. It makes us feel that this is a person that we want to have a long-term relationship with. But it is fraught with some challenges too. And there are some people who believe more in what we call a growth mindset about relationships. That is, we may have found someone who's very special and important to us. Mm-hmm. We want to spend the rest of our lives with them. But we also realize that we can't take that for granted, and we've got to work on our relationships. And relationships about what you make of them and create your own destiny, as opposed to there being that one person, your destiny to be found.
So if you believe you've found your soulmate, you stop working at it. You just think, well, we're meant to be together, so we're going to be together forever, so I don't need to do anything.
There are people that sit somewhere on the middle. There are some people that do sit on that side of the fence. And what happens is when their partner kind of falls short of that ideal that they thought their partner was, they actually feel pretty low about it.
Yeah, okay.
They actually feel quite sad about their relationship. They start to question about whether this relationship really has the legs. And they also are not of the mindset that things can be changed. They actually do believe that things are really fixed. Whereas you have those people who do believe that they found the one, so to speak, but they do continue to work on it. So when you ask them about their attitudes and beliefs about relationships, they will also turn around and say, you've got to work at it.
Because they're
partner.
The one.
Because they're the one, right.
So we can't split up.
Yeah.
Because then what do you do?
Well, I mean, some people would say that, but by and large, what we find is those people that want to work on their relationship and continue to do so fare much better in terms of relationship outcomes. They have higher satisfaction. They're able to work through problems more effectively, and often those things bring people closer too.
Okay.
So, you know, there's some pros to being having a soulmate perspective, but when times are tough and troubling, it's good to be able to know that you can you know, work on that relationship and continue it to blossom.
1-300-222-774 or send me a text 0437-774-774. Do you believe in soulmates? Do you believe in that one person you are destined to be with for the rest of your life? Jerry, I wondered if it sets up unrealistic expectations when you're looking for the one. If you do believe in soulmates, mm-hmm. When you're dating and you're meeting people who potential suitors who might end up being the person you spend your life with, if you've got this big idea of them being the one, are your expectations way too high?
They can be, and there's evidence to suggest exactly that. Not for all, but for some, if you set really high standards of what you're looking for and what the one is going to look like in your mind, you may very well, you know, be initiating a relationship with someone who may not meet those lofty expectations, but for that matter, no one would. They're so high.
Mm.
And you may very well be bypassing on a very wonderful relationship with a very, very nice individual that you could have a very happy life together with. So we generally know, and there's lots of evidence for it, that if your expectations are too unrealistic, we're not saying don't set them high, but if you set them so high that no one's ever going to reach them, then you could be setting yourself up for a fall.
Do you think you're more likely to last in a relationship if you do believe in the whole idea of a soulmate?
The evidence suggests the opposite.
The opposite.
It absolutely does. Where the soulmate element comes in and is important is for those people that I said before, those who believe that they have found the one, but they don't take it for granted and that it can be, you know, developed and cultivated and fostered. So as long as you have that mindset around growth, mm-hmm. around development, that's crucial. Then people do fine. But if you're one of those people who believes it is what it is, this is the way my partner is, these are my standards, they fall short, there's nothing that can be done about it, and I'm not willing to compromise and be too flexible, that can be a bit of a recipe for things to turn sour.
All right, Valerie from the Bass Coast has called in. Good afternoon, Valerie. Do you believe in soulmates?
I believe in brain mates.
Ah.
And I was with someone for 40 years, and I believe it was a mental relationship. He seemed to know what I was thinking before I was even thinking it. And I knew what he was thinking. And together, we just always seemed to share the same thoughts, the same ideas, the same feelings. We had different activities. He was an artist and a pianist, and I was into drama, literature.
Mm.
Mind you, he was a very successful businessman as well, but never worry about that. But it was a compatibility of brain rather than the compatibility of soul.
Okay.
Because I don't believe there's such a thing as a soul.
Interesting. What do you make about that, Jerry?
I like the term brain mates actually very much, and I think we've just got someone on the line who's had a very beautiful relationship with someone for a long time and knows what they're talking about, I think. The idea that, you know, we kind of get one another, however we define that, is very important in our relationships because it speaks to our similarity. And a lot of it has to do with similar attitudes, beliefs and values we have about relationships. When we share those things and our goals are the same, it's very easy to be able to read one another and to be able to think very similar to one another. And the other thing that was picked up on there by Valerie was the idea that you can also experience the kind of emotions that someone else is going through. We call that empathic accuracy. It's really important in relationships because you're communicating to the partner, you understand where they're coming from, and you feel their joy, you feel their pain.
We've had a text message from Bill. What is a soulmate? Can you have a soulmate but not be in an intimate relationship? Jerry?
There's some, you know, evidence out there to suggest you can have a soulmate who doesn't happen to be a romantic partner. It might be a best friend. You know, it might be a mate.
And is that a good thing, do you think? Is that a good thing for our lives?
It depends on how you define, you know, those things, whether some people even exist on there being such a thing as a soulmate. Here's what I would put it down to. If you've got someone, whether it's a best friend or romantic partner, that you can turn to, who's there for you, comforts you, respects you, values you and champions you, I don't know if it matters what we call it, to be brutally frank. I think as long as we have those important people in our lives, we're probably going to fare better than if we don't.
What about this idea of destiny, in the sense that no matter what we do, really, it's preordained and we're going down this path and we're going to meet the right person at the right time.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think about that?
So again, this notion of destiny plays into the soulmate one too. Those things are often looked at interchangeably, and there is an entire literature on destiny beliefs about finding the one at the time, etc. And it very much looks similar in the sense that people find it tougher sometimes to work through difficult challenges in relationships because they think things are predestined. I don't have the power to change things. Likewise, you know, sometimes they may have an interaction with someone who could be potentially a great person to be with. But if they don't think it's the right time, they're not as receptive to the cues that others are putting out there about wanting to initiate a relationship. And sometimes because of those filters, we miss out on the goodness in other people. They don't resonate with us. We're not in the mindset to be receptive.
Timing's an interesting thing because I've always sort of thought you've got to have a lot of factors in your life at one point in time, going right, I guess. If you meet the right person, then it could perhaps flourish into a relationship. Because potentially you could have met someone who may have been right for you, but not at the right time. It's not that romantic an idea.
No.
But what do you think about that?
I think there's huge variability.
Mm.
I think if we're looking for all the ducks to line up, for the stars to align, for the bells to chime, for us to then think now's the right time, I think we'll miss it. I'll give you an example with my wife. My wife and I started dating a week after my mother was diagnosed with cancer.
Mm-hmm.
That was, many would say, the wrong time.
Yes.
I even asked myself, what am I doing here? And I remember my mum saying to me, my son, you're a young man. Go and enjoy life.
How old were you?
I was 22 at the time.
Yeah, that is pretty young.
And my wife and I are still happily together. And, you know, unfortunately, my mother died, 6 months after that point. Mm-hmm. But the way I saw it is one angel left my life and another one entered it. So some would say the stars weren't aligning. It wasn't the right time. But I was open to it. He was this wonderful person that I kind of felt bad about not seeing again. And I think that's important, right? We talk about soulmates. But I think a lot of the time is once we start to meet people, like a romantic partner, there might be other people out there for us. In fact, for most of us, I reckon there is more than one person. But what happens is when you meet someone, you don't want to think about what life could be like without them. The loss is too great. So you decide, even if there are other fish in the ocean, this is the one that I want. This is the one that I don't want to lose. And I think there's something very powerful and romantic about that as well.
Yeah, warts and all. That's how you take them. Once you've done the deal and you say, this is the one.
Yeah. Warts and all is important,
until it's
right?
Not. Exactly. I was saying before, perhaps it's whether you're happy in your relationship, and that's when you believe in soulmates. If you're happy with your partner, then perhaps soulmates are real.
Maybe, but I don't think it matters what we call it. That's what I would come back to. The label I don't think matters so much. I think we know when we're in a relationship that is great for us. I think we also know deep down where we're in a relationship that isn't so great for us.
Yeah, you're probably right. I've got an SMS saying, I often hear about people seeing another person across the room and instantly know they would marry and be lifelong partners. Jane, there mm-hmm. you go. So how did you meet your wife, Jerry?
Well,
was it across the room? Was it a glance?
It was none of those things. No, it was none. In fact, my wife and I were studying at the same time. We were finishing our undergraduate degrees. We developed a mutual friendship and it went from there. And I don't think too many other people would be dissimilar. There are some that see each other across the room and think this is the one for me. But to be brutally frank, the evidence suggests that that's the rarity rather than the norm.
Another SMS, I believe that water seeks its own level, from Celia, a farmer's daughter. Thank you very much for that, Celia. What do you say to people in terms of this whole idea of soulmates if they are trying to work on their relationship? Is it best that they leave that idea at the door?
Look, as we said before, I think if people feel like they've met the one and that makes them feel really good about their relationship and strong affection for their partner, that's great. I think it's really functional in that way. But people do need to move just beyond that and not see themselves as in this predestined relationship. You make your own destiny, and how you do it is you work on it. Working on relationships is probably one of the biggest predictors about how well a couple maintains their relationship and also its longevity. We as experts have found that in the research we do, but if you were to ask the real experts, those people that have been married 30, 40 years and are still having a fantastic life together, they say often a few things. One, their partner is their best friend, if not one of their close friends, but usually their best friend. Mm-hmm. And they usually talk about things they do, which is about working on their relationships, forgiving one another, having tolerance for one another, working through difficult challenges. The relationship isn't perfect. All relationships have ups and downs in satisfaction and intimacy and you name it. But when you're in it for the long haul, you work on it in order to improve it and to keep it at a level that you both mutually enjoy.
Harris has called in from Berwick. G'day, Harris.
Hey there, how are you?
Good. What did you want to say?
I just wanted to say that the whole notion of this soulmate business, I think it might be a little bit more subjective depending on the sort of culture you're coming from. My sort of example to back that up is I come from a culture where arranged marriage is quite the norm. Now, in that sort of a context, I wouldn't necessarily think that this whole notion of a soulmate might have an awful lot of weight in that particular situation. So might be more destiny, but not so much a soulmate. I'm not sure. I'd just like your thoughts on that.
Yeah, that's a really great point. And there is a bit of a distinction between soulmate and destiny. Soulmate is about having found the one. Destiny is this the person I was born to be with? And they can be, slightly different. And I think you're picking up on something that's really important. The interesting thing is a sidebar on this whole notion of arranged marriages, and we've seen reality TV shows that try to simulate this kind of stuff, is the evidence, I think, will surprise some people. It surprised me to some extent, but not in others, is that with arranged marriages, a lot of them down the track, their satisfaction and the way that they're functioning is a lot better. Really? And those of us that have decided, we're the ones who are going to find our partner.
Well, let's go to Dalloway on that point from Keysborough. Good afternoon to you, Dalloway. What did you want to say?
Hi, thanks for taking my call. Well, in 1995, my parents and my wife's parents met. I was looking for a girl. My father said he's looking for a girl for his boy, and somehow some third party, some mutual friend introduced both the parents. Horoscopes were matched, and we just got married, and probably we started loving each other after marriage. Till today, she has been best mate I ever got, like every other parent. Partners, we have our own difference of opinions, we fight, but bottom line is that she is my wife and I am her husband, and we have got two lovely kids, and I'm in Australia from 96, no problems, we have been living beautifully. Arranged marriages in India are very common in my time, and you have got a very less divorce rate compared to other Western countries where they love and marry.
Dalloway, I'm interested to know, how long after you married did you feel that moment or have that feeling of, I'm really in love here?
It's that you marry, then you get what you get and you live with it. And in that you try to find a satisfaction, and she did the same. And we sacrificed a lot of things for each other. And we have been beautiful relation. There's no problem.
Good match.
You know, we all have fights like every other pair, every other partners. We have our own arguments. But at the end of the day, she knows she loves me, and I know I cannot live without her, and she can't live without me.
Oh, isn't that lovely? It wouldn't be normal if you weren't farting. Dalloway, thanks so much for your call. Marcus in Carlton. G'day, Marcus.
Hi, Alicia. Great story and really great topic here. I was fortunate enough to travel over to Western Australia, I think back in 2005. I was going over to meet my best friend from uni, and my now wife was also going over there to catch up with her best friend from uni, and we'd never met. And it was only because our two respective best friends from uni had connected in sunny Fremantle that we fortuitously met. And 10 or 11 years later, Sarah is definitely my soulmate. We've got three kids. And it's just amazing how the world works. I think a bit of an interception of destiny and soulmates can definitely happen.
There you go. I was just about to say that. Destiny, soulmates, it's all working. All working out for Marcus. Absolutely. Thanks for your call, Marcus.
Thanks, guys.
John in Glen Huntly. G'day, John.
Hi, how are you doing?
Very well. What did you want to say?
Look, my wife and I, we met quite by accident. I was taking a friend to the airport, and my friend said, look, I've got a friend who wants to come with me. And I said, oh, you can't. You'll be late. You'll miss your plane. She said, my friend does want to see me. So the friend popped in, and we did miss the plane, and the friend, who is now my wife, we took Gemma, so the friend, to the airport, and she caught the plane. And then Joy and I, we went out to Luna Park, and then we went out again. And then 10 days later, I proposed.
10 days later?
10 days later.
John.
I wouldn't recommend it to anybody.
It worked out pretty well.
But it worked for us. Look, we just saw each other, thought we were the next best thing to sliced bread. And, look, it's worked out well. What we did agree on, we had shared values, and I think that's what attracted me to her. And we had the commitment, look, if things get really, really so, so bad that we're just not happy, we will split, but we will work as hard as we can not to get to that stage. And it's been 46 years. We've got three lovely daughters, all married, seven grandchildren, and I'm just about to retire. And we're having the time of our lives.
Oh, good on you, John. What a great story.
Keep it fresh. We have love, but you don't need that. But we do have that, but you don't need that. But what you do need is you do need companionship, you need respect, and absolutely you have to have a sense of humour. You'll never survive without a sense of humour.
Oh, she's a lucky woman and you're a lucky man, it sounds like. Thanks, John.
We are indeed.
Bye. Jerry, what do you think about that, the sort of love at first sight or the proposing 10 days later?
Yeah, I don't know about – well, John tells us maybe don't take his advice on it, but it worked out well for John. I think the thing that I pick up on in John and many of these callers, which have been fantastic stories, is just how proudly and how enthusiastically they talk about their relationships. And one thing about John is he said that he found his soulmate, but at the same time what he has said is what we've been talking about in terms of having a growth mindset, working on relationships and trying to make the best of them, not just thinking that this is already written in stone as to how it's going to play out.
It's interesting what he said about you don't need love. It's good to have it, but you don't need love.
Yeah, I'm not entirely sure what John was referring to by that. But yeah, love's important, right?
Everyone's formula is different, isn't it? Julia has called in from Geelong. Good afternoon, Julia.
Good afternoon. I think I'm really lucky because I've had both. I married my soulmate and it was an instant one. He walked into the room and said, I'm going to marry that girl one day. And we did. And then situations changed for him 20 years later, mm-hmm. and he left. So the second time around, I was selective who I needed and wanted, and there wasn't that instant connection or the soulmate feeling, and it's really good. It's more the work on it, similar values, and slowly unfolding, and I would think it's probably a better way to go.
Okay.
The first one was passionate, but weren't necessarily opposite enough or good for each other in that we didn't work as hard because it was natural and nice.
Yeah, so, okay. But second time around, the slow burn is working out well.
It is, and just a bit more selective on qualities and different people and more complementary in that we help each other. We're not similar.
It's always good when we learn as we go, Julia, isn't it?
I think so.
Well, we hope so.
Force to learn.
That's what we're all trying to do, isn't it?
You have to learn from it or otherwise you get trapped in misery. So I think if you can make a lesson out of it, then you're far better off and
well
educated.
Said. Thank you, Julia.
No worries. Bye.
Hello, Ron in Mornington.
Hello there. How are you?
Yeah, well.
Yes, my experience started back in 1958 in church. This Sunday, this lovely girl and her sister walked in and I thought, oh my goodness, my heart was gone straight away. She was 18 and I just turned 19 by 3 days. We got to know each other and became very close. I was a student, so we couldn't get married till 1962. Had three children and we had a lovely life. And we were so much soulmates, we could sit on opposite side of the room and have a conversation. Anyway, back in 2001, when she was 61, she suddenly was diagnosed with ovarian cancer, and she was gone in 3 weeks. She ended up in intensive care, and I ended up in coronary care, and we followed her. Anyway, eventually I got out of coronary care, and I happened to be walking down the main street, as we used to do every Wednesday at the market, and my late wife, she had this magnificent laughter and everybody loved her because she used to buy lots of things for her grandchildren. And somebody happened to say, how's that beautiful wife of yours going? It was like being run over by a tractor.
Oh, I bet.
Now, I had to find a house of God. Now, I'm not a Catholic, but the only church that was open was a Catholic church. I went into the church and I knelt at the altar and I said, my God, I am so alone. I've lost the most precious person in my life. What am I going to do? I'm so alone. I'm so alone. Anyway, eventually I got off the altar and sat in the pew to try and sort of get myself together, and I opened a book and the first thing I read was Fear Not, For I Am With You, and he's been with me ever since. Mm. Now, Gloria was 61 when she passed away, and it's, 16 years ago. So.
Oh, life can be cruel, but what a wonderful marriage it sounds like you had.
It was lovely. It was absolutely beautiful. You know, we used to get on so well, and the kids, you know, everybody, you know, it was such a happy, lovely time. But when I was in hospital, and I was more or less in intensive care too, my family came to me and said, Mum's not doing too good. And the nurse said, didn't want them to be there because, as I said, she's trying to keep me going. And I said, well, look, you should be with your mum. And they went. I didn't expect Gloria to ever die because she was so fit and strong. And as they left, I said, Thy will be done, dear Lord, but please don't let us suffer. And now I work in palliative care as a chaplain and all these places, and I've seen so much suffering, and I thank God that my beautiful, beautiful Gloria didn't have to suffer like so many other people have.
Absolutely. Ron, thanks so much for your call. David in Wheelers Hill.
Hi.
G'day, David.
Hi. Hi. Yeah, look, my story is I was going through a difficult divorce, and as I was at my lawyer's, you know, I was viewing some beautiful artwork, paintings on his in his offices. And then, you know, months and months later, when it was all coming to a conclusion, you know, he asked me how I was going along. And, yeah, I mentioned to him I met someone and, you know, she was an artist. He said, oh, what's her name? I said her name. And he said, yeah, well, that's her paintings are all in my office. So during all that time, I was, like, looking at her artwork.
Amazing. Yeah, I'm sorry, David, we've got to be quick because we're coming up to news time. But thanks so much for calling in. We appreciate it.
Not a problem. say.
Lots of stories there, Jerry. One SMS, my mother-in-law told us when we were first married that we are two square wheels that slowly knock the edges of each other. Yeah. I married my best friend 30 years ago and our wheels are now well-oiled. Jerry, as always, thank you so much for coming in. We really appreciate it.
It's an absolute pleasure, Leisha.
A wonderful topic, and keep your SMSs coming in. Do you believe in soulmates?